Today we'll be looking at the issue of capacity building and how it's built into programs that are focusing on research uptake. I hope you have a cup of tea available beside you as we begin. So I will just briefly introduce Diana Cope. Diana is the Managing Director of Organization Systems Design, which is a consultancy working with higher education, NGOs, and CSOs to develop research and capacity building sectors in Africa. Diana was also the co-lead for DRASHA, which stands for the Development of Research Uptake in Sub-Saharan Africa. This was a program that was funded by DFID for 5 years, and it ran between 2011 to 2016. Good afternoon, Diane.
Good afternoon, Nayesha.
Diane, if I could ask you to describe what your current role is and how your career has taken you into the realm of research uptake.
It's been a long and winding journey, which I think many people will have similar stories. I started as an organizational development consultant to South African universities when they were building up their research offices, progressed then into being one of the first group that established the Southern Africa Research and Innovation Management Association to try and build capacity in world-level research management. Moved on from that to a project to bring the Research digital newsletter, which tracks what's happening with funders and with funding availability. We worked for 3 years on bringing that into the African environment as a commercial product. And then I moved to the other end of the research cycle, which is what happens with the funding and what are the results of the research that is carried out with funding.
Can I just follow up on what you've said about impact versus research uptake? Is that a distinction that we need to bear in mind when we do speak about the capacity building for research uptake?
I think so. Research uptake is something that the participants in the project do, or the managers in the organization where the research is taking place do. And it's a long and drawn out process that should carry on through the life of, and preferably after the life of, the project. However, research impact is something that is very importantly measured not only by agreed indicators within the project, but by the perception of the users of the research. So that in itself is a completely different management process that starts with measurement and evaluation and culminates in providing evidence and proof of impact. After many years of working in different environments, I'm quite convinced that if you're talking about capacity building for research uptake, and that includes communication, project management, monitoring and evaluation, and a lot of stakeholder engagement of various different types, I'm entirely convinced that building research uptake capacity has to be done at the level of the individual, a researcher or a journalist or a science communicator. It has to be done at the level of the organization where that project is located or those people are employed. And if you're talking about large organizations like universities, it needs to be integrated with many, many of the other policies that govern research output from an organizational level. And then because research uptake is used by third parties, not only by other academics, very importantly, but by ordinary people, by policymakers, there can be macro-level interventions, micro-level interventions. One has to have a facilitating environment in which research can be taken up. And I think everyone who is listening will know that that is an extremely complex process that needs a lot of thought, a lot of planning, and a lot of follow through. Another key issue is meeting the expectations of users of research, whomever they might be, from people who have been involved in a master's level project at a university, who've been promised information and feedback, to the big global funders like Gates Foundation. They are all users of research. And I think we must be careful here that when we start talking about users of research, even that is a process, because very often users of research are also participants in the research and need to be treated with the respect and ethical procedures that should be a feature of any good scientific research. So there's a whole spectrum of users of research, and as communicators of research to get research taken up. Again, there are many different ways in which one accesses those users, but what has emerged over the years is that to meet the expectations of the users of research, the research has to be scientifically based, it has to be timeous, it has to be relevant, and it has to be ethical. And that is a big challenge. Certainly in the African university research context, where there is still a tradition of curiosity-driven research. The other thing that I would emphasize is that there are so many different audiences and they access information in so many different ways these days. So when we started the DRASA project, social engagement platforms were just starting. So that was something we had to keep in mind. But increasingly, it is about engagement. It is not about presentation. And I think that if research uptake program people, communicators and researchers can keep that in mind, that research uptake is not something that happens at the end of research. It happens all the way through the research and preferably carries on after the project is finished so that the engagement can be measured for impact. That is what successful research uptake really should look like. In the DRASA project, we worked with three dimensions. One, with the individual, with a range of short courses, both face-to-face at the University of Stellenbosch and online, accredited courses, sort of postgraduate accreditation courses. We also did short learning programs within each of the universities, which could be attended by researchers and by research communicators. Now, one of the things that all our universities did was to nominate people to attend those courses, both researchers and research communicators, who were very often previously research administrators whose job was now expanded. We also did have some journalists who would attend those courses, which they found very useful because their idea of getting research uptake was only about getting articles into the media. So over the 5 years of the DRASA project, there was this emphasis on individual training, organizational sponsorship of the training, and linking the research communicators with researchers who had projects which they were compelled to do research uptake activities in and with.
Could you please elaborate on the capacity building trainings that you gave under the DRASA program?
The University of Stellenbosch Center for Research into Science and Technology, CREST, does run online science communication programs. So their availability is probably the best in terms of a training course. On the DRASA.net site, there are massive tools and materials. In terms of what we did within the universities, it really was about developing very short courses that people could do over an hour or so in modules. And so quite a lot of the materials that are on the DRASA site were used by the facilitators in each university to develop the sort of courses that they wanted to have relevance in their own universities. So there isn't a package per se. There are a whole lot of tools that can be mixed and matched for your own particular needs.
Thank you very much to Diana Coates for taking the time to sit with us. Thank you to each and every one of you who's taken the time to share your cup of tea with us, and we hope that you will join us soon.